Welcome to the Major Thread Podcast, where we discuss topics related to the Bible, baseball, and life. My name is Thomas Majors.
And I'm Daniel Threadgill.
And again, this is the Major Thread Podcast. We just want to introduce the podcast, who we are, and then introduce the theme of the podcast. And I'm going to let Daniel begin. Daniel, just tell us anything you want to about yourself, your family.
Oh, sure. I'm from Monroe County. I went to school at Hatley, married a girl from Ripley, Anna, and we have three beautiful children. We got Skylar and Easton and little Blakely. All my girls are in Orlando at cheer competition. So we're, me and Easton, taking it easy. We're getting good treatment from the from my brother and my sister and my mom and dad this week. So
good. My name's Thomas Majors, and I'm not from Monroe County, but I lived in Monroe County one time. I'm actually from Lee County. And then when I got married, my wife and I, we moved to Monroe County, to the Monroe County side of Nettleton, which is the dry side.
The dry side.
Or it was dry. It was. I don't know if it's still dry.
You gotta go down. Yeah, it's Short Street. Short Street.
And then the Lee County side wasn't dry.
That's right.
But I married Amanda. Her name is Amanda Johnson. Now Amanda Johnson Majors. And we have three kids together. Tom Tom, Ariana, and Titus. And when you get Titus and Blakely together, it's a show.
It is a show.
They had a lot of fun at the baseball game the other night when Kossuth was playing Nettleton at Kossuth. Well, we do want to introduce the podcast today and just begin by telling the theme of the podcast and how we came about picking a name for the podcast. And so basically what I did is I asked Daniel a couple of weeks ago if he would do a podcast with me. And Daniel said that he would. And then I put social pressure on him by putting something on Facebook and then asking for names to go along with it. We had a lot of people comment on some names. And one of the comments was the Major Thread. It's kind of a double entendre.
That's right.
And because it's a double entendre because it actually has a significant meaning, but it's based upon our last names.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Threadgill.
And Thomas Majors.
And Thomas Majors. That's exactly right. But it's a double entendre because there's a sermon by a guy whose name was W.A. Criswell. He was the pastor, longtime pastor in Texas, one of the great pastors and preachers from Southern Baptist life. And he had a sermon that was called The Scarlet Thread. And basically in The Scarlet Thread, W.A. Criswell, he talks about the theme of the Bible being redemption through blood atonement. And it's a biblical theology. He kind of traces this idea of a blood sacrifice, blood atonement for the remission of sins. And he traces it from Genesis all the way to Jesus. And I couldn't help but think that there is some similarity between that name, the Major Thread, and the Scarlet Thread. And really what we're trying to do with the podcast is talk about the Bible, talk about baseball, and just talk about life. And we want it to all be connected to the Word of God and the hope we have in the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So now I asked Daniel this question right before we went to record. And I asked him what the importance of stitching on a baseball was.
I really don't know if the stitching has an importance. It does have an importance depending on what league you're playing in. But you know, most baseballs are made overseas, and you have approximately on a high school or on professional baseball, college baseball, you have 108 stitches. And those are two, they're basically two flaps that go over the ball and then they're stitched together. But not all baseballs are made the same. Not all the stitching's made the same. And for a particular reason. High school, the threads on a high school baseball are higher than the threads on a major league baseball. The threads on a major league baseball would be very, very low.
Except for grip.
And it's for grip. So a high school kid can grab those threads and really throw it and make the ball spin and move and cut and dart fairly easier. And I say that if he's a good pitcher, fairly easy if those threads are nice and big and he can grip those threads. He's got a better grip. That is much harder to do at the major league level because you don't have as much grip. So
that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
When I was, because I knew I was going to ask him the question. So I looked it up, you know, what thread. And first thing, hey, let me ask you this before I go to that. Are all threads red?
No, they used to be. They used to be different colors. They used to be black.
Okay.
And they used to be blue. A blue thread was a popular color a long time ago. But then you get into, they also used to use horse hide instead of cow hide. So the animal rights people complained about that. And they said the cow hide was better. So, you know,
I guess it bothered them, you know.
It didn't bother them to use cow hide, but it did bother them to use horse hide. But that's the same way with the threads. The threads were made from some animal or whatever, and they were stitched. So over time, they would actually use the black and the blue stitching, and they would go over it and it would kind of look red. So then they went to red stitching. So
it's interesting. So when I looked it up, they said the threads really help with aerodynamics, and the way the
absolutely.
The way they explained it was very similar to the dimples on a golf ball. Uh-huh. You know, the golf ball, when it didn't have dimples, wouldn't fly very far. Uh-huh. But when they put dimples on it, it would fly better. And the same thing, when I was reading it, it said that the threads help a player get a grip.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were going to throw a knuckleball, mm-hmm. the reason the knuckleball kind of moves mm-hmm. funny is because they don't put spin on it. And right. the threads help them put spin, get a grip, and to put spin so it moves in the direction they want it to move. Right.
Well, we call that if you want to throw a knuckleball, the threads, the ball won't move. But you can get a grip on it and throw it and it'll just kind of dance. Because it doesn't have on aerodynamics. It really doesn't know which way to go because you didn't put your force in your arm is what's forcing the ball. So that's kind of where the ball's going, and it doesn't have a wind to knock it down. It's just floating through the air, and that's what knuckleballs do. They're hard to do it. Now, we call a two-seam and four-seam fastball. That has a lot to do with the threads. So if you hold a baseball a certain way, I don't have a baseball with me, and it's hard to do this on a podcast. But if you hold the baseball a certain way and you let go of it, then on the back rotation, when you let go of the baseball, there's only going to be two threads that cut the wind.
Hmm.
All right. And that's going to make the ball move or run differently. If you throw a four seam fastball, then you're gripping the ball in a way where when you let go of it, you're going to have four seams. When you let go on one rotation, you're going to have four seams that cut the wind. that cuts the aerodynamics down that makes the ball fly truer and straighter. So if you get in a 3-1 count or 3-0 count, you need to throw a strike. You kind of want to throw a 4-seam fastball. Make sure you throw it in there correct. You know, make sure it doesn't run off the plate or anything. But we throw mostly 2-seams because we want it dancing around up there.
Okay. That's real interesting. And you said it was difficult to explain that on a podcast. Let me just say that mm-hmm. I've always thought Daniel had a face for podcasts. and I've had a few people tell me I've had a face for radio and podcast too. I'm not sure what that means. Do you?
I don't either.
I think they say that we're good looking. Is that what that is?
I guess, but we don't. Yeah.
It's not one for TV. It's not a face for TV.
It's not a face for TV for sure.
Well, so the threads on a baseball are important. And I would say that the thread, the scarlet thread, or that major thread going through the Bible is very important as well. And Daniel and I, we're going to spend just a few minutes and talk about some of those areas that you can see that in the Old Testament, moving our way to the New Testament. And really one of the first places you see it is in the creation account. When God has created everything, it is perfect, it is good, but yet there is a serpent. Satan comes to the garden and he tempts Eve, and she eats from this fruit, this forbidden fruit, and Adam also eats from this forbidden fruit. And we call that the fall of man, where sin entered into the world. Well, anyway, that's all of our trouble began there, didn't it?
It did. I mean, we'll leave it at that.
It really did. All of our trouble began there. God comes later on in the cool of the evening, and he's looking for them. And when he finds them, he asks them where they are, because they're hiding from him. They've been naked. They're ashamed of themselves.
Right.
And so what he does, he sees that they've made some covering out of fig leaves, and he says, that's not good enough. And in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, we read these words, "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." So one of the first times that there's a sacrifice that is made is in Genesis chapter 3, and it's for the purpose. God killed this animal. Death entered into the world. We might say even at that point, God killed an animal.
Yep.
Took that skin and provided clothing to cover up their shame and their nakedness.
That's right. To cover up their sin, yeah.
That's right. And so from there, we find this idea of the blood sacrifice being the appropriate sacrifice. We see that with Cain and Abel.
Yep.
Abel made a good sacrifice, made one out of blood. Cain did not do so. God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice and was not pleased with Cain's. And one of the high points of Genesis is found in Genesis 22, right?
Right.
The story of Abraham.
Abraham and Isaac. So Abraham is sitting here, and he, you know, and talking to God, and he's and there's, and I'll just read these first two verses here. It says, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith." Now, I've always wondered, God's God. So why does he need to test his faith if he knows he's faithful or not?
That's a good question.
All right, so, but God feels like he needs to test Abraham's faith. And maybe it's Abraham who needs to test Abraham's faith is what it means. I don't get it sometimes. But either way, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith, and Abraham, God called out. He said, and he replied, "Yes, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you." Now, well, I could read the rest of it, but either way it goes, this is what happens. Abraham takes Isaac up the mountain, and I can't imagine their conversation as they're going up the mountain. You know, hey, Dad, are we going hunting? Are we going to do this? What are we doing today? We're going to go build some fences. And he finally gets him up there, and you know, sometimes I wonder if Abraham even told him, you know, what was going to happen, you know. And but anyway, Abraham was about to kill him and sacrifice him, I guess yeah. you might say. He was about to sacrifice him, you know, over a stone like type table. And the angel of the Lord stopped him. And wouldn't you know that a nice little thick thicket over there, a nice little clean lamb showed up, you know. And
God provided the sacrifice.
God provided the sacrifice. You know, in all the times in the Old Testament, you know, going through this and teaching the Old Testament through at school, you know, there's always a sacrifice that has to be made for everything. You know, it's a blood sacrifice, and it's got to be, you know, this, and it's got to be done this way. And then you get very it gets ceremonial, I guess what I'm trying to say, than just going up on the side of the mountain and sacrificing your son, you know.
Yeah.
It gets more and more ceremonial.
Gets elaborate in the way the sacrifices are made. Yeah.
Yeah, especially when you get into Leviticus and it's telling you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to do this, you need to be clean, your hands need to be clean, you need to be washed. There needs to be no blemish on the animal whatsoever. It can't be just some animal you just pick up out of the pile and say, okay, we're going to sacrifice you today.
This one looks it's about to die pretty soon. Let's take this one.
Let's just take this one and put it out of its misery. You know, it's got to be the best.
Hmm.
And, you know, and that's in our sacrifice, when Jesus died on the cross, you know, we just celebrated Easter. It had to be the best.
That's right.
It had to be without blemish. It had to be spotless.
That's right.
You know, and it was the best. So
Jesus, when he came, he lived a perfect life.
Perfect.
Was perfect in every way. And he died for our sins, just like the mm-hmm. perfect, spotless lamb that is supposed to be used in the Old Testament.
Right.
That perfect, spotless lamb from like a passage in Exodus, mm-hmm. the Paschal lamb. Or even in Malachi, when they're talking about that those priests are not giving the perfect, spotless lamb. There's this idea that this perfect, spotless lamb represents something or someone
right.
who's going to come later on.
Right.
And we know because we have the New Testament, right?
We do, but Isaiah talked about it. He mentioned it and said, hey, "This is going to be your Messiah." And he's going to be without sin. He's going to be spotless. He's always referred to as the Lamb of God. You know? And I
think about John the Baptist. Remember in John the Baptist when he's standing on the side, I think it's the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Jesus walking, and he tells his disciples, look, the Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
So even at that moment, he's called the Lamb of God. And his purpose is to take away the sins of the world.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
So this scarlet thread, this blood sacrifice, has been given in the Old Testament. We've already moved to the New Testament. We know that person is Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he does that, doesn't he?
Yep.
And
he does.
We just celebrated Easter.
That's correct.
Celebrated Good Friday.
Easter is probably one of my, you know, everybody loves Christmas. I love Easter because Easter, without Easter, there's no point in what we believe in. You know, it's just useless.
That's true.
So, you know, I mean, I'm not saying Christmas is not important because you have to have, you know, in our doctrine, you have to have the virgin birth.
Yeah, and God made flesh.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he become flesh. You have to have that. But if he does not die, if he does not live a spotless life, and he does not die on a cross, and he is not resurrected third day, or come out of, I say he resurrected, he just come out of the tomb third day, then everything's for naught. You know, so it, to me, Easter, to me, I hold in great, great. I just love Easter, you know, yeah. So.
Well, Paul great says that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Paul wrote that in 1 Corinthians that if Jesus has not been raised, then we are to be pitied more than anyone else. Basically, because if he's not been raised, we're believing in a lie.
Right.
But Jesus has been raised.
Yeah.
And because he's the first fruits of the resurrection, then we look forward to our resurrection as well one day.
Yeah. I always try to watch Passion of the Christ the week of Easter. You know, it just puts me in that Easter mode. But it, I always think in that time frame of the Jews and the time, if I'm one, how would I react? How would I be? If this dude comes along, here's this dude. He's a carpenter. Yeah, he's made some good tables. Okay, I've bought a couple from him. You know, I bought a few chairs. He's okay guy, nice guy, takes care of his mom. Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know that family. The Joseph and Mary family. I know that family. And he says he does all this stuff, and he's telling people all this stuff, and he's preaching. And he's performing these miracles that people are seeing, you know, and he's telling people he's the next Messiah. And he's getting all these people all worked up. You know, I don't know in that moment, I don't know if you could go along with it or not.
The question would be, would I believe?
Would I believe in that moment? You know, because there was hundreds that did, you know, and.
Yeah, one time he had up to 20,000 people. Yeah, some scholars would say up to 20,000 people following him at one time. But at the crucifixion, he only had a handful, up to 100
or so. Because they were going to crucify or behead whoever was with him.
Right.
And that's why Peter denied him three times.
I think for me, sometimes I've thought about that question before. What I believe, and I just know my personality, and I think to myself, I would probably be like that Roman. I hope I would be like that Roman guard who helped crucify him, who crucified Jesus.
Yeah.
But then says, surely, truly, this was the Son of God. Once he saw all what God did,
yeah.
At the very end, he said, truly, this was the Son of God. So yeah. I feel like just knowing me and my personality, I'd be a person who would not believe and then hopefully would believe at that last moment. But
yeah,
that's an interesting thought, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got some interesting thoughts on crucifixion. So
yeah. Hey, well, we'll get to talk about that sometime on a podcast, okay?
We ain't got time today.
All right, so the scarlet thread. And then, hey, there's one last verse that I would want us to just talk about.
Okay.
And that is, it's Hebrews 9:22. And I'm not going to read it.
We've covered
a lot of the major topics that I would want to talk about, especially the creation account, Abraham, Paschal Lamb. Passover. We didn't mention Rahab and the spies. She actually put a scarlet thread in the window.
Yeah.
But then you mentioned Isaiah 53, the suffering servant.
Yep.
That Isaiah talked about him. We mentioned Jesus on the cross. And then kind of at the end of the Bible with the book of Hebrews, close to the end, You have the writer of Hebrews who says, there is no remission without the shedding of blood. And that's true. And we know that Jesus was the sacrifice for our sins. That is the scarlet thread. That's the major thread of the Bible. It is what ties the Old Testament and the New Testament right. together.
You can't have one without the other.
You can't have it. All right, so.
Sacrificial lamb.
All right, before we get close to wrapping up, let me ask you this. What do you want to accomplish with doing a podcast with me?
I want to make sure that you are theologically correct on what you say, because Brother David Haynes has told me to make sure of that. He called me and said, you better fact check him.
So the other day, I put on Facebook something about Daniel and I starting a podcast, and David Haynes made a comment on it, said, you and Coach should do a podcast together because he'll hold all the baseball knowledge and all of the Bible knowledge.
That's so off. That's so opposite.
And so what did I do? I screenshotted it. I circled it. Yeah, and I sent it to Daniel and I said, and that's the reason David Haynes isn't going to be on this podcast.
That's right.
So we got a good laugh out of that. But is there anything else that you would want to say? What would you want to accomplish with this podcast?
With this podcast, I think prayer is one that I want to accomplish. I don't know if people understand exactly how to pray for certain things.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know, when to, how to, what to, what for. Whom, you know, everything. What do I say? What should my prayer be like? I struggle with that now. You know, my condition. You know what I want to pray for? Health to live. You know, your will to be done. Everybody says that. So I think prayer is a good topic.
I think we can definitely talk about prayer and what you've described. Now, the theological word that we use for that is theodicy.
Theodicy.
T-H-E-O-D-I-C-Y, theodicy. And it is trying to understand, basically, why bad things happen in this world.
Yeah.
And how does God interact with that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's called theodicy. Back to the question, what would I want to accomplish? Definitely, I just want to be in fellowship with Daniel and just I think every week us meeting together and talking about podcasts and Bible and baseball.
Yeah.
Just so y'all know where we are right now.
We do a lot of sacrificing in baseball too.
I imagine
they're not blood sacrifices, although they can turn into that sometimes.
Blood, sweat, and tears sacrifices. Right?
That's right.
Just so you know where we're at, Daniel has all of the baseball knowledge. That is true. Okay.
Oh, no.
But I want fellowship. I also want this to be devotion. I want to learn more about God and grow closer to God. But then, just as Daniel said, teaching. Some teaching moments.
Yep.
Teaching about prayer, teaching about theodicy, teaching about God, teaching about baseball. And there's been a lot of topics that have been discussed or thrown out to us that we could discuss. And so I look forward to discussing those with you.
Me too. I sure do. I look forward to it also.
All right. Well, we're going to close this one out. We're right at close to 30 minutes.
Okay.
And so I want to thank y'all for joining us today on the Major Thread podcast.
The Major Thread. Coming to you soon, live, everywhere.
So I hope you'll join us again next time. You can find these podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher or wherever else you find your iPod, your podcast.
Your iPod.
Yeah, wherever you find your podcast. Thank you.